This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Them when he's out and they go back to being what they should be, which is a run first team, going to run you over. They got two great running backs. That should be what it is, but they tend to want to spread out and feed everybody. When Odell's in there, we'll see. You know, but Mayfield certainly calmed down last year. I don't think was necessarily looking to make the hero play all the time. That was big for his development. And defensively, they have really added on there. The Cleveland Browns might be the team that can be in that elite group, one of the better teams in the AFCs that the AFC that I did not mention earlier. Probably right there with, some would put them ahead of the Titans just because that Titans defense got a lot to prove.
Yeah. I think it's going
to
be a –
Cleveland's got a shot to be up there.
I mean, look, you got the Titans, you got the Bills, you got the Ravens, you know, the Raiders. You have a lot of hopefuls, you know.
But more good news for these Titans, at least from another team standpoint, though. You saw where not just Carson Wentz is dealing with this injury that can keep out 5 to 12 weeks, but they're all-pro guard now. Quentin Nelson's got the exact same injury to that left foot. Going to have to be, same foot injury as Wentz. He's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks. We talked about the strength of that Colts team being the offensive line, sort of being everything around the quarterback. Got a nice run game, but that line had been at the center of things, and losing an all-pro guard early on. You guys remember, I read you that schedule to start the year for them yesterday when we were talking about Carson Wentz missing 5 to 12 weeks. Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens. It's the toughest first 5 weeks in football. That could be good news for a Titans team, you know, looking to not just get ahead, but to stay ahead of the Colts. There's nobody else in the AFC South that's going to threaten the Titans. And so if the Colts get stumbling with Nick Foles or Carson Wentz trying to play early on and this all-pro guard out, it's going to be good news for the Titans. So
yep.
more bad news there for Frank Reich and the Colts.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Anyway, so a hell of an NFL season, I think, ahead for sure. Could be wide open in some ways. Certainly more than the NFC. I mean, just gonna have to sit back and get your popcorn with Aaron Rodgers. And like, is this gonna be? Is he gonna go out with a bang? You know, or is he gonna go? I mean, it would be perfect if this dude like got to the Super Bowl or dare say even won one and then said I'm out. Like that would be the most epic. That would be the most epic. And do you think he still would, by the way? Do you think if they win a Super Bowl, he'd still leave? Uh-oh. Because Devontae's going to get paid. Haven't they made that pretty clear? They're going to give Devontae his money, and they should give him his money. They'd be idiots if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a number one, number two receiver in the NFL. You know?
I just don't – you win a Super Bowl now, what's the point of leaving?
I mean, I agree, but
start over in it could be a 2 or 3 year process somewhere else.
Right. Well, he clearly doesn't believe he can win a Super Bowl, and that's kind of the paradox here. Like, he clearly does not really believe he can win a Super Bowl with, the players that they have around him and
that's ridiculous. That's him trying to hold their feet to the fire. He's got what are you talking about? They were right there last year.
Yeah.
Clearly, he believes they can get there and win.
Oh, it's the daily contractual. Say it. Just say you should have ran it in.
Won't do that.
He should have ran it in.
You literally cannot go show without. It doesn't matter if we're talking about NFL or not. It's like you're just going to get it in that he should.
Well, when you say
it
something as ridiculous as Aaron Rodgers doesn't think he can win a Super Bowl with what Green Bay's got right now, it's ridiculous. They were in the NFC Championship game last.
I mean,
we're going to bring it back
again.
Up.
You asked.
Because apparently you didn't see it.
We always have this argument because you think he should just always MVP the league 5,000 yards with one receiver. That's what you think he should do. You
the
think
best
he
receiver
needs,
in the league.
But you think he needs no other help. Even though in Tampa Bay, they gave Tom Brady everything he desired. They gave that man Antonio Brown, dog. They said, you know what? We know you got a sexual assault case open and pending. No problem. Come on down. They did that for Tom Brady.
You know what?
Not even never played a snap for the Bucks.
Now they're doing what Aaron wants. They went out and got a light eyes Randall Cobb, brought him back, as if he's going to be the thing that puts him over the hump. Mm. No, just run for the touchdown, fool.
Randall Cobb.
You've been there without Randall Cobb.
When I saw that, I could not even believe that Randall Cobb was still in the NFL.
This is what you want? Like, Aaron, you did all, you want all the power and all this, and this is all we had to do
Randall.
The whole time was just go get your Randall Cobb?
No, it was also, also the fullback, right? It was also the fullback that they cut. I get it, man. Like, if you're that great, you feel like you should be looped in on decisions. I understand that, like, especially in a team sport.
Oh, they've blown it with the way they've handled that.
Yeah.
That story you told about cutting your second-best receiver from camp, at least according to him, he was the second-best receiver. You cut him from camp without talking to him. Who does that? Guy's a three-time MVP. He's won the Super Bowl. So, ridiculous the way they've handled it. I would be interested to see if it's over, though, if he wins the Super Bowl. I don't know why you'd go elsewhere and try to start that process over again. Just go try to win it again. That said, I'm hoping this is the last one. It's Justin Fields' time now in the NFC North. Haven't you heard?
Yep.
It's time to hand that thing over.
By the way, some good news on the NFL. The NFL is now at 90% vaccination.
Wow.
That's good.
Amazing what some of those motivational tactics did.
I mean, I know everybody was bitching about that, but it's like, if you are, and look, I love him. I love him. He's a pseudo-Memphian. But like, Jalen Richard, bro, what are you doing? What are you doing right now? You are the third running back, and you're talking about not getting vaccinated? Like, they will cut you if you cost the team. If they think you might cost the team, they will cut you. Because they have, as you know, we gave Kenyon Drake $600 million. We have Josh Jacobs. You know, by the way, Kenyon Drake starting the starting training camp on the PUP. Yeah.
That's what y'all do.
Yeah, like, how stupid can you possibly be? It's like, just when you think you can't be any dumber,
bro,
the Raiders managed to do it. I mean, it's just so stupid. But you know, if you're
I saw where Mayock got, but he's vaccinated.
He's vaccinated, right. If you're a guy like Jalen Richard, and again, I love him. We've had him in studio. He's a friend of the show. But he has made it very clear he is not going to get vaccinated. If you're, like, you risk your livelihood by not doing that, because if a team, you cause an outbreak or whatever the case may be, like, a team is not going to play games with you like that.
I get that. They're not going to give a guy like that a second thought, and you know, let it be a risk to the team, and especially a team, John, forget the Raiders, a team that's got real chances at something like playoffs or Super Bowl like that. But what happens with the word is there are others besides DeAndre Hopkins, real big-time players in your locker room, some of the stars in the league. How do you deal with those if you are their teammates? Because unlike Jalen, we're not talking about third string. We're talking about one of your key guys. It's those I'm interested to see, because again, Hopkins, one of those guys, and we saw it. We saw the rift, you know, the ripple effect it created by him pointing out, look, I'm not going to do this. I mean, we saw it. He ends up taking the tweet down. You talk about, you know, him possibly costing guys game checks, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I just wonder, it's a different dealing when you're talking about somebody, you know, like a DeAndre Hopkins as opposed to a Jalen Richard. You're right. They're not going to risk anything with a guy who's not you know, not a starter, not one of the stars of the league. What's going to happen when some of these stars aren't doing it? I guess you're just going to put up with it.
But, you know, I think that definitely does suggest that we're going to have much fewer game rescheduling.
You think Brady's vaccinated? Has he said that? Has he vaccinated?
Yeah.
He's one of the 90.
He's a leader, man. You know, he's a leader, and that's what leaders do. You know,
well, his whole thing is if we're going to win another Super Bowl, we got to be vaccinated.
100%.
That would be the way he'd look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would guess. I mean, I know Carson Wentz is not vaccinated, which is I don't believe Kirk Cousins is vaccinated. Which, by the way, like, I have to question your decision making off top, but you notice, like, it's the bad quarterbacks are the ones who are not vaccinated. Like, it's the ones who have questionable decision making skills.
Wasn't
already
the Vikings quarterback room that just came down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kellen Mond, not vaccinated. I'd cut his ass. How dare you? I'm serious.
But you can't cut Cousins, who's not getting vaccinated.
No, you can't cut him because
that's what I'm saying. There's a difference level in how you're gonna deal with
that. Exactly. But that's
huge.
The way it works, right? That's the way it works. Antonio Brown can have a sexual assault case and get assigned. Right, but you know, Mose Frazier can't have a charge and get on a team. Like, it's just the way it goes. I'm just using it as an example. That's a random name, but you get where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah, but Kirk could still cost that team in the same way that the scrub could.
If you are
at some point, it's gonna come. If it does, it's gonna come back on it. It don't matter that you're Kirk.
If I was a general manager, right? I swear to God, I would do this. I would call a meeting to the team, and I'd say, I don't know who in this room is vaccinated, right? I don't know. I can't. But I'll find out, And if you are on the fringe and you are not vaccinated, you will not be on the 53-man. Period, point blank. I will not risk my team. Isn't football the ultimate team sport anyway? Isn't that the team sport of all of them where it's like you sacrifice one for all for the greater good? Mm. That should be the one to me where everybody just does what they're supposed to do so that they don't cause outbreaks to hurt the team. I mean, that's just because they have said, the NFL, we are not going to reschedule games if unvaccinated members of the team cause an outbreak. You're just going to have to take the L. I'm not going to hurt my – I mean, I'm getting the vax. I mean, period. I'd get the vax anyway, but certainly then – I mean, if I'm on the fringe, come on, man. You know, you don't really have much of a choice in that sense. It'll be made for you. Anyway.
Like I said, especially if you're going somewhere. Yeah. A squad like y'all, you ain't got no goals, team going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, who cares about the Raiders?
You're feeling good. Nagy comes out there and tries to rile up the fan base. Where's y'all's training camp at? Peach Park?
Bourbonnais, fool.
Who?
Bourbonnais.
Okay, well, Bourbonnais. Okay, he comes
out. Is
that
how you say it, bro?
Illinois. Yeah, he got it.
Outside of Champaign.
Yeah, so, exactly so Matt Nagy comes out there. You know, he's walking out there like Conor McGregor. He's feeling high and mighty, feeling good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's revisit that after week five, dog, when y'all are 2-3, sitting there looking listless as hell.
We have a tough schedule, actually, because of the division we play.
There is some breaking Chicago sports news in the NBA. Among the options that have emerged for a sign and trade to Chicago for DeMar DeRozan, league sources tell Mark Stein.
We pushing all our chips in.
Y'all are going heavy in Chicago.
Looking for a number.
Y'all suck, man.
We're really looking.
Can you imagine if they get that done?
We're trying to get that five
seed. That looks a little better there.
My goodness.
I mean, it's like, what's the point, man?
There is no point.
DeMar DeRozan, dude. I mean, this dude got left behind. This league left DeMar DeRozan behind. I don't understand why we talk about DeMar DeRozan as much as we do.
Like, no, he's still averaging 20 shooting all the mid-range
dudes. He's a professional scorer, yeah, but, yeah. I mean, he ain't no championship piece.
Oh, and on Toronto, we saw that. He gets out, they win one.
Man, 31 mm-hmm. years old, ain't been an all-star since 17, 18. I mean, come on, dog. I'm just
taking shots away from Zach LaVine. Put him on that squad. Yeah,
I agree.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, when he went to the Spurs, and all of a sudden the Spurs started sucking.
And Rudy's leaving the Spurs, too. He's going to Utah with Mike.
I mean, that says a lot. Like, when you go to the Spurs, like, the common denominator is Tim Duncan left, DeMar DeRozan in.
And Pop's still playing that old game down there, which he tried to do with Team USA and lost to France. That's part of the problem, too, though.
Yeah.
Lost our boy LaMarcus, my gosh, everything they went through with him. It has been. It's the deterioration of the Spurs. I'm not going to sit here and cry for them, though.
Yeah.
Lord knows they won enough.
Well, anyway, that is the latest in the NFL.
It's coming.
DeMar DeRozan going to be a Chicago Bull.
Possibly. Still signing trade. They're working on a signing.
Y'all be doing some random stuff, man. Y'all just do stuff. There's no real logic behind it. Y'all just do it. Y'all just busy to be busy.
I haven't been, I would say, just a super staunch supporter of that organization for a long time.
No, you do a good job of that. You disown things when they're not going your way. And like your Cubs, you did an unbelievable job of completely detaching
from
them.
Still a Cubs fan, just not going to let that pain hurt me.
Yeah.
And hurt, take away from my joy.
You just do, this is what you do. Like when something like that you care about starts deteriorating, you distance yourself from it.
Yeah. I don't want it to hurt me. Those dudes don't know me.
So like you won't even
talk about it. Why should I care that much that it takes away from my joy and ruins my day?
Yeah. Well, you ignore it. So it's just, it's a skill. There's no doubt. All right, we'll come back. Adam Finkelstein is going to join us here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about the Jalen Duren recruitment, what he knows, where he thinks this young man is going. He knows him very well. He's a Northeast product. Adam Finkelstein is a specialist in the Northeast in recruiting. So we'll get into all of that with him a little bit later in the show. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Yeah, I don't want to just talk. Yeah, going up a whole nother notch. Yeah, can't be stuck in one slot. Yeah.
You're a homeowner. Congratulations. It's an amazing club to be a part of.
That's right.
It's a blessing. But with that comes an eternity of fixing things, of addressing issues, of maybe foundation problems, maybe damp basements or crawl spaces, concrete issues. That's just part of the deal. And if that happens to you, and odds are pretty good that it will, we got good news. Help. There's only one call or one click away. It's our friends at Redeemers Group. They're the local experts. So they're your one-stop solution. Got an A-plus rating with the BBB. A-plus rating and customer service as well. Give them a call. 901-390-3900. 800-288-9448 or visit them on the web, redeemersgroup.com.
Got foundation damage, sagging floors, perhaps cracks in your walls that you know have been there for a while. You've just been too scared to do anything about it. Get these issues solved in one simple call. That's to Redeemers Group. John just gave you a number, 390-9448. They're your local foundation experts, Redeemers Group. They've got innovative products, permanent solutions, and warrantied works that are all transferable. They can fully stabilize your home, stopping those foundation issues at the cause for good. You can stop your worrying, but more importantly, rest easy because you know that the problem will be solved. No two foundation problems are alike, but there's one company, like we said, that can handle them all. That's Redeemers. For a free estimate, visit redeemersgroup.com.
Today in the world of college football, in the world of expansion, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, according to ESPN, are meeting to discuss a potential strategic partnership. Does that mean they're going to join up? Does that mean they're going to have a scheduling thing? I don't know. I don't know what the motivation for the Pac-12 would be to join up with the Big 12, and certainly what's left of it, right? Again, we run into the same thing.
Isn't it the same, you know, if you're the AAC, it's the same incentive, right, to get bigger. That if we don't do what the big boys are doing and grow,
yeah,
we're going to get left out.
The AAC is just betting on the Big 12 dissolving, right? And they're just trying to, you know, yeah, like you said, like maybe
they want to bring over all eight. Sounds like that's what the Pac
– But the Pac-12, why would they want to split their money with undeserving – it's the same argument. It's like it's the same argument as why Texas and Oklahoma wanted to leave, you know? Why do we want to split what we're making here with these teams that are compared to us bottom feeders? We can join the SEC, make more money, and feel like we're on more of an even playing with our cohorts. You know, if the Pac now the Pac-12
no, that is the difference. You're right. But again, we're not talking SEC money. We're not talking Big Ten money. But it is better than what the AAC is getting.
Yes,
to your point.
I mean, you see the report yesterday about what the Big 12 would be worth without Texas and Oklahoma?
Oh, next to nothing.
$14 million per, and that's still double what the AAC gets.
No.
So, what you think about the AAC, bro?
I mean, yeah, but still, again, you're talking about playing ball with ESPN in that sense, and
yeah.
You figure they would go up with what you're adding from the you,
oh,
you
if
could
they
go
join
up.
The American, yes,
but
for sure.
What do you get? Do you go up? How much more do you go up if you join
you
the Pac?
Do you get to?
To
I,
your
I don't
point,
know.
It's going to be a coming down for them.
Yeah.
For the Pac-12,
right? They're
going
to have to split their money. I mean, why would you do that?
You're not going to go up enough.
The difference, right?
Correct. Yeah. You're not going to go up enough in value adding the Big 12. To be able to not lose money.
That's
there
why they're not going to do it, ultimately. AAC, I think, could gain some value. I mean, by definition of that report, they do. If those teams are worth $14 million per, well, there you go. 8 times 14 is what?
Well, 2, 1, what is it, 112?
Is that true?
It's close.
Okay, $112 million per year. Okay, if it's an 8-year deal, what was that? $1 billion, something like that. We're getting in the neighborhood. They add $1 billion over the life of a television contract. That's a very clear upgrade for the American. It is not.
Right.
I'm guessing on back of the envelope math, it is not for the Pac-12. And so you can meet all you want. I'm sure this was leaked by the Big 12, though. Wouldn't you guess that?
Yeah.
Like Bob Bowlesby just said, hey, we're going to meet with the Pac-12. And they'll take a meeting with you because you're an autonomy conference, and they'll just, you know, they'll do right by you. But
where's the Pac-12's way to, you're just saying best bet for them to stand pat? Like, them, just like anybody else, would be looking on how to get stronger. Now, how you get there is a different question.
But do you get stronger by adding these teams?
I don't think so. You've made a good case here that you don't, that you essentially, in the long haul, you're just going to be, giving up.
Right. You don't want to just add. That's why the Big 12 didn't expand in 2016.
But so what's the way for the Pac to get stronger then? I just don't.
I mean,
in 2021, where
Boise
everybody's going to get stronger.
BYU, I don't know. And I don't know if the politics would allow for that to happen. I don't know how much stronger the big Pac-12 can get, you know? I mean, maybe adding Baylor. You could pick and choose who
instead
you add.
Instead of taking all of them,
right.
Then you're not giving up
right.
as much.
You could pick
not
and choose
bringing
who
eight
you add.
In, yes.
Yeah, but adding everybody, Bob Bowlesby's his career is done.
He's just trying to keep a job at this point, yes. His job, just like that league, is going to dissolve.
Yeah, I think he has to understand that at this point. But it's the latest step in this whole round of expansion / realignment. We'll see what comes out of it. But Bob Bowlesby and the Pac-12 are meeting today. All right, we'll come back. Adam Finkelstein is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Jalen Duren, about the recruitment, How does he think it's going to go? His game, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90s Turn FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com, and with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road. The best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, we've got a date, ladies and gentlemen. Jalen Duren going to announce his next steps this Friday. Adam Finkelstein was on the Peach Jam broadcast. He's in the loop. He knows what's going on inside the Jalen Duren recruitment scout, recruiting analyst for ESPN. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Adam, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, so look, you're up there in the Northeast. That's kind of how you've made your name. Not too often that the number one player in the country comes out of Delaware, huh?
No, and you know, I think a lot of people don't even realize he's from Delaware, you know, because he played at Montverde, obviously, this past season, and before that he was at Roman Catholic in Philly. So I think most people assume he's a Philly kid, but you hit the nail on the head. He's from Delaware, actually.
So, look, here in Memphis, obviously a lot of interest in this young man's decision because, look, they're a finalist. They're one of the five, one of three colleges left on his top five. How would you sort of handicap everything right now? I mean, I think if you ask different people, you might get different answers. This seems to be sort of a close to the best kind of recruitment. In terms of your latest intel, how would you sort of handicap things as you understand them?
Well, what I can tell you is that 9 times out of 10, when there's a high-profile kid who's about to commit, most people in the know within the industry already have a really good indication of where they're going. I mean, you know, sitting on my desk here, I've got a list of about 10 kids who I expect to commit in the next couple of weeks, with where I expect them to go with, and all of them I'd say are probably a 90% level of probability. And to be totally honest with Jalen, that just doesn't exist. Had you asked me a couple of months ago, and some outlets did, and I was candid at the time, that I thought Miami was the leader. You know, they hired DJ Irvin, who's a team final guy from Philadelphia, who has a really good relationship with Jalen. But then the landscape started to evolve a little bit, and a couple different things happened. One, obviously, Memphis made a big push. I think the NIL situation is really giving college programs a better opportunity to keep him rather than, and not just, I don't think that's unique to Jalen, but I think the opportunity to make money that could potentially be comparable or maybe even more to what you would get in the G League or other professional routes is certainly giving these kids, including Jalen, something extra to think about. But with regard to the college options, so Miami was the perceived leader for a long time. Memphis started to make a push. I think bringing in Larry Brown was impactful. And then the other one that made a push was Kentucky, quite frankly, because when they missed out on Kofi Coburn, they needed a five man. And so they decided to, you know, really go all in on Jalen and getting him now. And obviously getting kids to kind of reclassify up is something that Kentucky's had good success with over the years. So I don't know which of those four options he's going to go with, meaning the three college or the G League. I'm just as interested as you guys to find out.
Adam, if Miami, Memphis, and we'll throw Kentucky in there as well, even though it feels like maybe they're behind the other two, if he ends up at the college level, are we looking at one of the best players in the country in a one-and-done season? How does it sort of translate, having watched him as closely as you have?
So there's nobody in high school basketball that has won more consistently than he did. Mm-hmm. You know, he just won the Peach Jam with Team Final. Prior to that, he won the Geico Nationals with Montverde. The thing about Jalen is that he is the most physically dominant player in high school basketball. He's not as old as people think, because when you've got that body type, people mm-hmm. assume that, you know, because you're physically mature, they assume you're older. That's actually not the case. But he's got, you know, a tremendous wingspan, a chiseled college-ready body, plus he's got really good hands. He's not an offensive alpha, meaning I don't think he's the kind of guy that anybody is going to throw it to and just say, go to work, big fella, you know, 10 to 15 times a night. But what he is a guy who can catch, who can think, who can pass, who can be an option in screen and roll, because he's an emphatic finisher. Even on a short roll, he can catch it and make a decision. So I think that, you know, expecting him to come in as a freshman and put up 20 points per game, I think there may be guys who are more equipped mm-hmm. to do that. But he's a guy who can impact winning. The biggest key for Jalen has always been how engaged he is from a motor standpoint. Mm. You know, when he went to Montverde and you play for Kevin Boyle, you don't have any choice other than to play hard. But there were some growing pains in this year at Montverde. They really, you know, kind of forced him to say, okay, you got to bring it up another level. And even at the Peach Jam, there were times over that 2 week period where yep. you know, there were days when it said, okay, he's got to go a little harder. Now, when the lights came on, he brought it. But I think that's the big key for him next year, being someplace where they're really going to bring that out of him on a daily basis. And I think the vast majority of his options will do that. And when that happens, he's got a chance to play big minutes, be a constant double-double threat. But I do not think he's an offensive focal point, an offensive anchor, if you will, mm-hmm. Right off the bat. I think he's a guy who's, you know, maybe gets you 14 to 17 points per game, but probably not more than that.
Well, Penny Hardaway would certainly take that in the front court. There's no question about that. What I want to follow up on that point, though, Adam, because out of the Peach Jam, you would see a little bit of this. You would see, oh, man, Jalen Duren, underwhelming. You know, like, I just wasn't blown yeah. away Motor. By Jalen Duren, you know. And I think a lot of that is framed by, you know, the average casual basketball fan hears number one player and they expect it to be, you know, Luka Doncic type numbers, right? Like, you're supposed to put up 30, 10, and 10. That being said, if you just didn't tell me where this kid was ranked, right, I feel like it's almost – people get turned off because I think the game comes so easy for Jalen. Right, like he does so many of the small things. Right, he blocks out of his area. He makes free throws. You know, he makes small plays that add up. Now, is he the number one player in the country? I mean, that's really not for me to decide. I haven't seen 500 kids, but I mean, if you have any doubt about this kid's ability to contribute immediately, you're not watching him play.
Well, I think. You know, I think the fact is 100%, and this is the irony of it to me. Like, and I was at Peach Jam, you know, it went on for 12 days, and I did two different stints there because we had to see all the circuits. And the fact of the matter is this, is that he has won the two biggest championships that there are to win in high school or grassroots basketball within the last year. And yet still, he has got to consistently play harder. So what that tells me is that he does impact the game, he does impact winning, and he's still got another level to get to. So I don't think it has to be one or the other, because it's undeniable that there are times when he doesn't play as hard as he can. And anyone who's watched him closely over the years, from USA Basketball to Roman Catholic to Montverde to Team Final, I think would probably tell you the same thing. But he's a really good kid. He is open to coaching. He at Montverde, when they pushed him and when they challenged him, he responded. And here's the fact of the matter: like, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the last couple of years, and a lot of stuff that you know, this kid who's had to move away from home, deal with the pandemic, all this kind of stuff that sometimes we don't, you know, really take into account. So can he and will he impact winning right away? Without question. Does he need to play harder every single day? Yeah, he probably does. That doesn't mean he's lazy, malicious, or anything like that. It just means there's another level that he can get to. And when he gets to that level with his motor, because of his natural physical tools, as well as the subtleties that you mentioned in terms of like his hands, his passing ability, I think he's actually got some touch to develop, different stuff like that. His game's just going to go to the next level.
Adam, if he went G League and takes the money, that your confidence level in his chance of going through that, and I ask you this question because I'm thinking about that motor, like you said, and somebody's got to be constantly pushing him. And it's set up for that in the G League now. But if he goes that route, your confidence level that he comes through it, and he's a top 7-8 pick like Kuminga and Jalen Green, that he doesn't get to what we've heard the word exposed when it comes to Green and G League. And the way, as dominant as he is, look, he's going to make it to the NBA. But your confidence level that he comes through that and he's still a top 5, top 10-ish pick in the NBA draft?
Yeah, I think it's pretty high.
Okay.
I think that the thing, just for context, I think this current draft class was really good class. Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, obviously Cade Cunningham, those guys are all number one picks in a normal year. The fact that Kuminga slipped to seven or eight, wherever it ended up being, after he had a really good performance in the G League. I remember that first game of the G League when Kuminga was better than Green in a lot of different ways. People were giving us some flack, if you will, because we actually had Jalen Green ahead of Cade coming out of high school. But Kuminga played so well and still, I don't want to say he slipped, but still ended up going to 7 or 8.
Absolutely.
This was a special draft class that we just had. This current high school class of, the class of 2022, even though I think we all kind of know Jalen's not going to stay there, is not a particularly deep one from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
After Amani and Jalen, it's kind of always been that two horse race. Now if he goes to 21, it's a more interesting class because you've got Chet and Paolo and different guys like that.
Yep.
I think the thing about Jalen is that Jalen's game in today's NBA is one that the more, I ultimately think the motor's going to take care of itself. I really don't think. I think that's something that needs to be addressed and will. And I think in today's NBA, the fact that he's mobile, the fact that he can defend pick and roll, protect the rim, finish vertically, like as a lob threat, all that stuff translates. The more he can develop his passing instinct and his touches is being able to stretch the floor, like you look at the way today's NBA is going, that was ultimately why I have, and I've written this for ESPN, like why I've maintained that Amani is still the better long-term prospect, because I think long-term he fits today's NBA better in terms of being like a big scoring wing. Just the traditional five-man has never been like more de-emphasized in the NBA than it is in this current generation. So from that standpoint, and honestly, probably that standpoint alone, I mean, if we were here in 1995, I'd tell you that Jalen was a better prospect, but just the game, the way the game is played at the NBA level has changed. That's ultimately a bigger concern than his motor. But even having said all that, do I still think he's a top 5 or 10 pick? Yes, I do. I don't think that class, either 2021 or 2022, was quite as good as this draft class we just saw. And Jalen does too many things that translate with the potential to do even more, because again, those nuances you mentioned, that he shows a passing instinct, he can catch, he's got touch, and he's shown touch since he was a youngster. It's a little bit of like a flatter ball now that he's so powerful. But if you told me he was making threes 5 years from now, I would believe you. And I think that's a possible trajectory that he could follow in the coming years. So even though he's not, he's kind of more of this physically dominant five man that you don't see as much anymore, I do think he's got the potential for increased skill as the year goes on, and that will make him more translatable in the modern day NBA.
We are, of course, talking to Adam Finkelstein, scout and recruiting analyst for ESPN. Adam, one of the things that I've heard, I would say, in the last week or so, and I don't know how much validity to it there is, but I will present it to you, is that perhaps Miami's hiring of DJ Irving has backfired in a way, in that, you know, it's one thing to be the coach of a kid at the high school level at AAU and sort of look out for him in the recruiting process. But then when you go and you work for a school, it's almost like, well, we clearly know what your agenda is. Whether or not Miami is the best place for Jalen Duren, you're going to say it is because your terms of employment are basically based on Jalen Duren coming to Miami. Have you heard that at all?
No. That's not to say they get him. But I think to say it backfired is misleading, because I don't think Miami has a chance to get him without DJ Irvin. So it's you know, whether or not they get him, that's another discussion.
Right.
And frankly, I think if they don't get him, it's not going to be because of DJ Irvin. It's going to be because of other factors. Because here's the thing. All three colleges that are in the mix, regardless of who you think is winning and who isn't, they're all selling sunshine at the moment. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah,
hey,
sure,
it's going to be great. You know, we got DJ Irvin. No, we got Larry Brown. No, did you see what we did to Carl Towns? Like, everybody's telling them how great it's going to be. And the reality is, like, Memphis is a factor in this one way or the other. Kentucky is a factor in this one way or the other. Miami is not. Like, if Miami doesn't hire DJ Irvin, they're not on his list. Now, is that enough to close the deal?
Right.
I don't know. I think that in and of itself was never a guarantee. The other thing I'll tell you is, when they hired DJ Irvin, even within the industry, like as I said earlier, the perception was that Miami was the leader, but this was not like a Cade Cunningham type situation when Oklahoma State hired his brother, mm-hmm, and then everybody knew Cade was going there. I remember when there was some speculation that Cade was like going to go to Kentucky over Oklahoma State. Again, like, people in the industry, I think, never really bought into that. Everybody knew Cade was always going to Oklahoma State. Similar with Evan Mobley. They hire his dad at USC. Everybody knew Evan was always going to USC, even though he didn't commit immediately. It's not been the same calculus with Jalen. DJ Irving's hiring gets Miami in the door. It puts him in a really good position, but it is not a lock like it was for guys like Evan Mobley and Cade Cunningham.
You know, the talk here in Memphis was at least, well, maybe having a Larry Brown helps you with this, right? Not going to be the thing that sort of, like you said, doesn't close the deal for you, but helps you. And you mentioned it. You think he helps here? And what do you think, big picture here, that Larry Brown can do for Penny Hardaway and for Memphis in this first season as an assistant here?
Well, obviously it gives him immediate credibility. Seeing Coach Brown, I don't know Coach Brown personally, but seeing him on the road, seeing the way people, players and coaches, because he's a legend, you know, players might know him, but the coaches are the ones who, mm-hmm, he's really a legend for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the people who wanted to go up and shake his hand, and I remember even in our broadcast, we were about to go on the air, and he came up to say hello to Paul Biancardi, and Paul jumped out of his seat to say hello to Coach Brown, and it was like, hey, we're about to go on the air. And he's like, hey, it's Larry Brown, man. You know,
it's so a legend. Right.
Yeah. And just a coach's coach. And I know this isn't what you were asking, but
no, I love it.
A coach who has been known for, like, when he was the head coach at wherever, for me, it was when he was with the Knicks, it's when he was closest, was always known to open his doors and let other coaches into practice. I know that's how he and Paul got to know each other, because Paul went to go watch him practice. So I think that he's got such universal respect given his success at both the college and the NBA level. So there's no denying that gives you a thread of credibility. And as I said, like, this, hopefully for Jalen, this calculus isn't just about, where do I think I can get the biggest NIL deal? And where do I think, what's the most direct path to the pros? But hopefully it's about, where can I develop over the course of the next year? And having somebody like Larry Brown in your corner is obviously a huge chip in that process, in that discussion.
No, and that's exactly why the day that Larry Brown got hired, they got his ass on a plane to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Because they had the same thought. Hey, Adam, man, this was great. Listen,
thank you
again,
for this,
man.
Adam.
Appreciate
awesome.
The time.
Yeah, anytime. Appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Pleasure, brother.
He is Adam Finkelstein, ESPN. scout and recruiting analyst. First time we've had him on the show. Clearly knows sort of what's going on with the Jalen Duren recruitment, and I do. I think it says a lot. I think it says a lot that I agree with him. 9 times out of 10, when you got a number one player in the country, it's a pretty poorly kept secret on where the kid is going, mm-hmm. right? Like people typically know. And look, I we talked about it earlier in the show. You know, Memphis feels good about where it's at. That's that, you know, but I think, you know, Miami feels a certain way about
Kentucky
it.
Kentucky doesn't feel a certain way, do they?
No,
not with the buzz right now.
I talked to somebody in Lexington last week, and they basically made it sound like they're kind of fading, you know, in this deal. Because, look, they're going to get this kid, Derek Lively, the kid he plays with on Team Final next season. Right. They got Oscar the Grouch. I mean, it's just it's a lot they have there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can work against you when you're, you know, when you have so much repetition, you know. Whereas Memphis, Miami, bro, you slide in, you the man. I mean, period, point blank in the front court. I mean, that's just the truth. But I do think it's going to be I think we'll know before Friday, right? We'll have a very good idea and a very good sense of what's going to happen before Friday. But Adam Finkelstein says, you know, hey, go either way. So very interesting dynamics at play here for the number one player. And he still has to reclassify, by the way.
Well, that's happening. You heard him.
Yes, he will reclassify.
Now, that part is the worst kept secret.
He will not be the number one player in the country when he does that. So he is the number one player in the country in 2022. He will not be in 2021.
Because that's got Banchero and Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, so I imagine he'll be top five, I would have, if I had to guess, in top, you know, in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I love his game. I think it's underwhelming, understated, I should say. But I think he's a guy that comes in and makes a winning, immediate impact for you.
I think the part that I was most interested there, caught my ear the most with Adam, was he's got that sort of, maybe that throwback, dominate you game.
Doubt.
But there's the potential to add more,
100%.
Right? Is this it for him would be the question. Then you'd say, oh, all right, well, what's the ceiling? But Adam's pretty confident that he's able to add more to that game, that jump shot, everything.
Well, because,
you know, being able to step back, that's all a part of it in today's game.
People can't comprehend this because it's hard to imagine, but if Shaquille O'Neal was a center in 2021, he would shoot threes, right?
Like, You'd have to.
I mean, that's just what would happen.
They would be encouraging him to help space the floor.
Shaq would shoot 40% from three. Because he would have no choice but to shoot 40%. Otherwise, he would be like Musa and not be on the floor.
No, he wouldn't shoot no damn 40%.
I mean,
you can have him back there. He ain't shooting 40.
I mean, he would, maybe not.
You may want it to happen, but he ain't shooting 4 out of 10.
But remember, I was getting intel that Musa was shooting 40% from – actually, it was more like 70% from three.
And 101% from the free throw line is amazing.
I was had. There is no doubt. I got had last summer. I refuse to let that happen again.
The question is, where's that free throw percentage going to be at Oklahoma State? How much will it improve under Mike Boynton?
That's
my point.
Yeah, but
is that what he needs doesn't get developed somewhere else?
Well, that,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they weren't going to listen to that. It is what it is. We're moving on, and
I know you don't like talking Musa,
Jalen Duren. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like everybody had. I think there's legitimacy to every side. I just think every side has their own, you know, they're a point, you know. Anyway, we don't need to relitigate that.
No, appreciate Adam. He's fantastic.
We will come back, wrap this thing up here on a Tuesday.
It's the summer of sports on 92.9 FM ESPN with KJZ.
The Saints are a good football team, and Jameis Winston, if he's the starter, is a hell of a quarterback.
The Jeff Calkins Show.
Like, they're both magnificent players.
The Jason and John Show.
Kevin Harlan.
We're thrilled to be doing the Grizzlies.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
It'll be fun to watch, I know that.
And the Gary Parrish Show.
Be careful, be kind, be good. Rep your heart.
Your one-stop spot for sports in Memphis is 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
Hey, welcome to the party.
Hey, golf tournament starting back up. That means time for a drink. Time to celebrate. I always love having golf in Memphis. I recommend Blue Note Juke Joint. Maybe they have some down there for our guests this week down there at TPC Southwind. Drink it neat, drink it on the rocks, make a cocktail with it. Lots of different ways you can drink it. They're all delicious. It's smoother than smooth, and it's bolder than the blues. You can find it wherever your favorite liquors are sold here in Memphis. Look for it. It's the bottle with the blue label on it. Looks amazing. Sitting on your bar, tastes great. I like to drink mine on the rocks. I'm a classic man. Great drink, Memphis business. You're supporting local. That's what it's all about. Just $29.99 a bottle. You're not going to beat it. Trust me, best bourbon for your buck in the city. You're going to love it. Pick up a bottle of Blue Note Juke Joint today. We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESP. And I did see some news today that we're losing the WGC. We just got it. Like, it just got here, the WGC event. And it's being replaced with
It's a playoff.
The FedEx playoff, mm-hmm. which you know, look, it's, you know, it is what it is. I don't think anybody expected the WGC to only be around for, you know, what, 3 years? But it is being replaced by, you know, an interesting event. Now, Mark Giannotto did tweet about this. He says, in case you were wondering about the PGA field now that it's a FedEx Cup playoff event, last year's Northern Trust, which is what Memphis is replacing, had 40 of the top 50 and 28 of the top 30. This year's WGC that's going on this week has 48 of the top 50. So there are just more of the top 50 with the WGC.
You lose some of the top golfers.
But it's not a...
It's better than the classic was for by a long country mile.
Still better. No doubt. Like, yes,
we've
upgraded
this thing, and it's still a playoff.
So, right. I mean, exactly. So, like, you'll still get, you know, you'll still get the ones you care about, you know. Not that I'm super familiar, but it sounds like it'll still be the same. You know, you're going to get your Bryson DeChambeaus. You're going to get your Ricky Fowlers. You're going to get your, you know, your Justin Thomases, et cetera. So you're going to get those guys here all the same. The name is just going to change. That's going on. This week down there on Southwind.
Yeah, Gino on and Jeffrey season. Out there.
That's exactly right.
Basically in your backyard.
Yes, in my backyard. Watch out for my azaleas, guys. You know, we just put those down, my crepe myrtles.
Did you see Koepka's Instagram account? So he's renting a house on Southwind. These dudes all rent houses.
Rent the house.
The one he rented has this massive Christmas tree in it.
I actually know somebody who is renting out a house to go. I won't say their
you
name.
You won't say who it is.
But, I can't say who it is, but I can tell you how much they're paying.
How much are they paying? How much are they paying to rent a house down there?
It's for the week.
It's $5,000?
We'll start with Jason. Jason, go ahead.
For the week?
Mm-hmm.
It's a mansion in Southwind.
I mean, a mansion? I don't know if I'd say it's a mansion, but it's a very big house.
Give me...
With a pool.
$15,000.
This is the Price is Right. He says in the Super Showcase, $15,000.
Man, that seems high. I have $5,000.
$5,000
gets it done.
$5,000.
You're talking about rich people... Paying rich people. It's got to be rich money.
Actual retail price is $10,000.
Man, we split it.
No, damn, we split the middle.
No, you lose.
Right down the middle.
You went over. You went over.
Yeah, I went over, but we're still $5,000.
Is it top of the line? I'm sure it is. They're all top of the line down there.
What you mean?
It's like a top of the line mansion.
You get
$10,000,
could have got $15,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you who's renting it. Mark Leishman. Is the guy I know that's the golfer that's renting it. He's paying $10,000.
I think there's a mutual broadcasting friend that has a place down there he rents sometimes.
Really?
Can't say more than that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If you got a house on Southwind.
When are you going to start renting your place out?
Rent it out.
You leave and you rent it while it just let somebody else have it for the week.
Yeah, I mean, do what you will, brother. Do your worst. Yeah.
Y'all come stay in Cordova. I got you.
What you going to charge for the week?
Look how Brad laughed.
Yeah.
And you got a nice place.
They don't think that's the slum.
That wasn't me laughing at your place.
No, I ain't
laughing at your joint, man. You got Freddy's nearby there, but you know.
Stay off Germantown Park.
What you going to charge? $650 for the week?
$2,000
for the week?
There you go.
Come on, Mark Leachman.
Come on, bro.
Damn, you might as well stay at the DoubleTree. You know? That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Adam Finkelstein for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Jessica Benson for joining us on the show today. Jen, I'm Jeffrey. They're going to be live from TPC Southwind. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're going.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.